0-1 to Wells. Looper into shallow right field, and it is caught by Roman, and the ball game is over. The Red Sox win it 12-1. They have taken the first three in this four-game series. Crochet dominant, big swings from Story. They erupt late, and as one-sided and emphatic a beatdown as the Red Sox have had at Yankee Stadium in years.
And now, the artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball is not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. Baseball Isn't Boring is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
All right, let's go. Let's go. I am looking out at a Yankee Stadium field where it was an absolute bludgeoning Red Sox of the Yankees. And this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Dave, can you give me a McFarland, please? Are you there? If not, that's okay. Gordo, are you there?
McFarland.
I'm telling you what, the Yankees fans, Gordo, I think that they could use a whole dose of McFarland right now. They need some good vibes. It was ugly for them, for the Red Sox. It's an entirely different story. And I love doing these shows, Gordo, because I love doing the Baseball Isn't Boring show all the time anyway. But I love doing these shows because it's just like guttural reaction. Just flat out, this is what happened. This is how you feel. Call on in. We'll talk about it. And by the way, Roman Anthony, this roaming, walking around the field right now for, I don't know why he's doing it.
By himself?
Well, they're having this thing in the outfield where they're letting everybody throw, like kids and stuff, play catch in the outfield. And Roman Anthony has sort of like walked right through it to the dugout, so I don't know what he's doing. He doesn't want to leave the park, Gordo. He doesn't want to leave the park.
This Can you blame him?
Good things happen.
Can you blame him?
No. So my point is that I want everybody to join on in. 617-779-7937. We're going to be with you until 6 o'clock, screaming McFarland, talking about the great game of baseball, talking about where the Red Sox, their lot in life right now, all of that. We're going to be talking about all of it. It's an easy one, Gordo. All right. I mean, I don't even, you know, like I said, I mean, with these things, you just roll it out. Here it is, everybody. Here it is. Here's what's happened. Here's how you feel. Here's where they're going. Here's where they came from. Whatever it may be, it's not complicated. Gordo, take a breath, lower the heart rate, and tell me what's what. What is percolating to the top of your noggin right now?
So I don't know if you caught it, because I know you're at Yankee Stadium, but the image that keeps percolating in my mind is that of Lucas Giolito and Garrett Crochet laughing as he walked off the mound after the seventh inning, after striking out the side and recording his 11th strikeout to just take the Yankees' souls. And that was before the ninth inning meltdown that I truly have no words to describe what we just saw there.
First of all, I tweeted this out, Gordo. I mean, that was, I feel bad for Paul Blackburn. That was Kyle Bearclaw.
It was
2025. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I feel this, whatever. I mean, so I wanted to get that out there because I wanted to make sure everyone remembered that I remembered that Kyle Bearclaw had that outing in 2000. I thought we might be hitting the 2-year anniversary, but just shy. It was August 28th. But go
How
ahead.
How far we've come. How far we've come
How
since
far,
that.
I mean, seriously, that was the, you talk about, we thought this might be fork in the road weekend in the Bronx.
It is.
Right. Well, that was not easy. Easy. That was fork in the road. That was undeniably fork in the road. August 28th, back at the Kyle Bearclaw game, and we have these games. Like, what did we say last year was? I try to get my head around. It's probably that sweep against the Astros as well, right?
Ooh, why am I? Was the no Blue Jays? They had a bad series against the Blue Jays, but that was 23. That was like a Paxton start.
No. The Blue Jays was out of the trade deadline. They got swept. But then, you know, then they got buried by that Houston series of Bearclaw. But last year, if you remember, they had another bad August, and then they land in early September. I think they landed like September 4th. They landed at 500, and they never were two games over and two games under. But they were also out of the playoff picture.
I remember.
Right?
Rob, yeah. I remember it. Yeah. It was the Mets series. It was the Mets series.
That was early September.
During my wedding, that was the series that really sent them on the direction that it was like, okay, this is not happening this year.
What, your wedding or the Red Sox?
I mean, the Red Sox, but my wedding could have played a role in it. I mean, I didn't watch the game that night, and it could be the baseball gods punishing me.
It's really not happening in the middle of your wedding when you yelled, I'm sorry, it's really not happening. And they're like, what are you talking about? I would concur with that. That was the Mets series. The Mets series, which
followed the Tigers series, and they lost to Scoob. They won the first game with like a Rafaela homer in the 10th, and then they lost to Scoobal in a low scoring game. They got out dueled, and then Rich Hill pitched the next day.
That was a Rich Hill week,
right?
The whole thing was a Rich Hill week. But anyway,
yeah.
But we bring that up because we thought this might be fork in the road. Whatever, a trip to the Bronx. It was certainly, I don't think you can discount it, you know, but with the Red Sox, because remember, we have to remember, the Yankees were up on the Red Sox heading into the series. They were the ones playing well. So if this happens to the Red Sox, what has happened to the Yankees, in other words, lose the first three games, then absolutely this is fork in the road time for the Red Sox, because you fall well beyond the Yankees.
4.5 behind them it would have been.
Right. You would drift closer to Seattle. You drift closer to even Kansas City, and the Yankees pull ahead. But that isn't what has happened. What has happened was they have now won 8 straight against the Yankees. They have now won the first 3 games of these series, and they could have been progressively more and more and more decisive. That first game, it felt, Gordo, like that was the grindiest of grind games. That was like, oh my goodness, this series, you're going to have to grind it out. You'll just be happy if you take, you know, if you split this series. But now we're sitting here, and they've won the first 3. They did what they thought they would do with Crochet on the mound. Nobody thought they would score 12 runs, certainly. But as we sit here right now, I asked you to percolate whatever it was at the top of your noggin. Besides the image of Giolito and Crochet laughing and everybody having a good time and everything falling apart, the other question I have for you, Gordo, is just overall – I know that what you're going to say because you're the biggest optimist I know. But overall, where do the Red Sox stand in the American League?
They stand 1.5 games ahead of all of the other wild card teams.
I don't want to talk about
that.
Science.
We're getting literal.
No, I don't want to be literal. I want to talk about, because I've been asked this a bunch this weekend from the various interviews that I have done, Gordo. I don't know if you know this. I'm a big, big, big deal.
You are a big deal, Bradfo.
Yeah. Baseball isn't boring. It's the brand. It's a big deal. The brand is a big deal. Which, by the way, a little inside, after Cora finished yesterday, someone brought up the squirrel. He's like, I'm sure someone will make a T-shirt of it by tomorrow.
Ooh.
I'm like, yeah, but will you get a tattoo of it? That's the biggest question. Tattoo of a squirrel. So my question isn't literal. But my question that I have been getting, Gordo, is who is the best team in the American League? And I have a terrible answer for that, which is I don't have a good answer. I don't have an answer. And right now, as we sit here, the Red Sox can be in that conversation. And here's the reason why I would feel more convicted of them being in that conversation than maybe 3 days ago. And it's not just because they blew up the Yankees today. That's not the reason. It's because of what Brian Bello was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know that you have this Garrett Crochet, as long as the wheels don't fall off, you have this Garrett Crochet. And if you have that Brian Bello, which is a legit number 2 in some worlds, number 1 starter, that's how you do postseason runs. Beckett, Lester, Schilling, Pedro, whatever it is. That's how you do postseason runs. That's how you define yourself when it comes to being a separator when the American League and the rest of the standings. That is such a huge, huge deal. And in regards to the number 3 starter, Gordo, Giolito, a little inside, okay? After the game, Giolito told me this yesterday, after the game he pitched the other day, we were talking about how this team is so good about this of using their eyeballs and using their verbiage and using their interpersonal skills to help each other rather than just leaning on analytics. And he used Bregman. He's like, Bregman's just next level. And he gave the example of immediately after that game on Thursday night, Bregman goes to him and said, hey, you know, I think they had your changeup. I mean, there's two things there, right? There's number one, that's a great story because that dynamic is the type of dynamic that winning teams have. And also, if you want to say, well, Giolito wasn't that good, well, there you go. That's on the radar. Yeah. Anyway, your thoughts.
Well, to go back to your original question about how they stack up against the rest of the AL, who's the best team in the AL, I think anyone who has a definitive answer for who they think the best team in the AL is, if you want to get definitive about it, I feel like you're being ingenuine. Because all of these teams stack up against each other pretty evenly, and anyone in any given series, depending on who's home, who's hot, who's cold, like any team, and you've seen it with the Red Sox facing off against all of them. Like you really don't know what you're going to get, which to me is why it's so important that you get that home field advantage, which is why it's so huge that as of right now, they are a game and a half above everyone else in the wild card, because you can get that home field advantage, get those three games in the wild card series at Fenway Park. I don't care which American League team faces the Red Sox in that series. If the Red Sox are at home, I'm taking them over whoever they're playing.
Anybody. All right. Yeah. Well, two things. Number one, I Googled ingenuine. It's not a word.
It's not. No, what's the opposite of genuine?
Disingenuous.
Disingenuous. Okay, they're being disingenuous.
I like it, though.
They're lying to you.
Stupid.
They're trying to have a take.
AI, once again, fails me. But the other thing is, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. And that's what it comes back to is like when you look at this team, we can pick apart. And we picked apart letting heading in the series. When you get swept in the two-game series by the Orioles, it's fair to say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't really necessarily going the right way. What they lost? 8 out of 10 at that point?
I think it might have been 7 out of 10.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's their lot in life. That's fair. But also, we have to say, well, look at what you have here. And a couple huge things besides Crochet today is David Hamilton getting three hits, which, by the way, and I told Hamilton this after the first game, that first game, you know, David Hamilton hasn't had a great year. He's been up and down, whatever. But that first game, he absolutely made a bad fielding team look worse.
Yep.
He was one of the guys who made that strategy actually impactful, which is you have the Joe Kelly termed Yankee baseball going on, which is terrible defense. You already know they are. We saw a bunch of that today. But if you have a David Hamilton putting the pressure on, it makes that come to the surface. And that's what he did Friday. He had three hits today. And then Narvaez, and I'm going to give you another little inside bit.
Oh, okay? Wow. You're full of nuggets today,
I've been running around all over the place.
You're grinding.
All over the place.
Here we go.
And Narvaez, I talked to him, and one of the things I was talking about his knee injury, right? And because I think I've heard like how tough this guy is, because you know I'm fascinated by tough baseball players, Adrian Beltre, whatever. And he's like, I was scared. He's like, I was scared. Like he's like those first few days. He's like, and he used the word scared about his knee, and then he went to Jason Veritek. And talked to Jason Veritek, and Veritek was the one who sort of talked him down off the bridge. I mean, he was like, dude, like, I was hurt all the time, almost every single game I played. It's okay. It's all right. But when Narvaez is saying that was about 10 days ago, when he's saying how scared he was about that knee and then land where he did today, like, that's pretty impactful and important stuff. So anyway.
Yeah, and the production that you're getting from your catchers, I mean, who drove in the run yesterday? 1-0 game, Connor Wong drives in the run. So with this team, it almost feels like they go – like they're not going to go – like Roman Anthony and Alex Bregman are going to produce. You'll see days where you look up and down the lineup and it's like, okay, two hits for Roman, three hits for Bregman, and then like two hits for the combined rest of the seven. But when guys like Story are driving in runs, like they go as he goes. When guys like Rafaela, like when they were on that 10-game win streak – Rafaela carried them to that win streak. When they're getting production from the catchers, when they played well way earlier in the season, was because Narvaez was carrying them out of the cleanup spot. And now in this series, you're getting a lot of production from the catching spot. Yet again, it's these other guys, when they step up, it's always got to be someone else. And maybe it's Nathaniel Lowe. He's played well.
Well, yeah, let's get to, like, I mean, well, yeah. I want to get to Nathaniel Lowe. Like, what an addition. For no other reason. As you know, he's on Play Tessie. No other reason. What a great personality.
The king of the Nathaniels.
The king of the Nathaniels. But so we could get to Lowe, we could get to all these guys. I also want to ask you the question, who has actually been the most important player since this, going back to this June 27th run? You know, since then, who has been the most impactful? Because when you bring up Trevor Story, I'll say it. Like, everyone focuses on Roman Anthony. Trevor Story might be the most important player on this team.
I'm not going to argue that. Make arguments for either of them. You can make an argument for Bregman, even though he didn't play a lot of it.
Well, he didn't play a lot in that, so we can't really say that. But ruminate on that a little bit. First, I want to get to some of these calls. Because I am at Yankee Stadium. I am where this carnage just happened. I am getting the pulse of the Yankees fans. I am getting the pulse of how happy the Red Sox and the vibes emanating from the Red Sox clubhouse. I may be in the broadcast booth, Gordo, but I can feel them all the way up here.
That's strength right there.
That's when you know the vibes are powerful. All right, 617-779-7937. Jeff in Watertown. We don't want to keep you holding anymore. Jeff, what's going on?
This is Brad Phil McFarland here.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
It's amazing to me how the Yankees right now look like the Red Sox looked in April and May and June. And, you know, completely out of sync. The team itself doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, it's just amazing to me. And you're right. I mean, baseball is just an incredible sport because, you know, 3 months ago, nothing was working, and now everything's clicking. There is no great team in the American League. I think the Red Sox are the team that nobody wants to play at home. And that's what we've got to play for. We've got to play for home field advantage. And I think we're as dangerous as anybody. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and Jeff, another thing, another takeaway that we should note, which I tried to surface a lot heading into this series, was everyone focused on how great the Red Sox were at home, but they had a real problem of beating good teams on the road. Like, I think they had one series win of a team over 500 on the road. I think that was the Yankee series earlier in the year leading up to this one. So that's a very real – as much as everyone's like, oh, you know, you get them at home, you're going to take care of business, you also have to win in these games as well. And holy mackerel, I mean, you at the end of this game, like, this place can be really, really difficult to manage.
Yep.
At the end of this game, I mean, this place not only had cleared out, but, like, Red Sox fans were chanting. You could hear them. It was a whole thing. And that is just, you're absolutely right. It's a good analogy, Jeff, with saying, comparing what it was like for the Red Sox early in the year compared to the Yankees now.
And you know, last week I said I pined for the waiver wire deadline, and we got our own waiver wire deadline. We got Nathaniel Lowe, who's exactly what we needed. I mean, it's the guy, I've been talking about this for years. Just a good, solid left-hand hitting first baseman who could put the ball into play, and that's the thing that I like most about him, is he gets the ball, you know, bat on the ball, and he puts the ball in play, and it just seems to change the whole lineup when you have that kind of guy in the middle of the lineup.
No, and with all due respect to Babraham Toro, you know, the fact of the matter is that you have a lot more confidence with Lowe up there right now. I mean, it's not even close, really.
Lowe's a guy that you're down absolutely to hit fifth in the lineup in Toro. Like, he did his job. He kept the team afloat when they needed him. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
for the last month and a half, 2 months.
He was Dom Smith. Yeah. He was basically Dom Smith.
And when he came off the bench the other night, Thursday night, I just felt so good about him coming off the bench, and bam, he hits a double. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah, very much in control. All right, much like you are, Jeff, I appreciate it.
McFarland to you.
All right, all right. We're getting, listen, it's a good time when you're screaming McFarland at the end of August and you actually have stuff to react to that is not like the Kyle Barraclough game, that is not the Mets the falling off the cliff series, whatever it is. It's great that we actually have some stuff to talk about, when to ask the question, to ask, and I think, Gordo, really, this is the pertinent question of the day, which is there a team, how should the Red Sox be viewed in the American League? And I want people to be very, very subjective, objective, whatever. I want them to be real. I don't want them to say, oh, my goodness, they just killed the Yankees. They're awesome. I don't want them to crap on them and say, look at all the holes. Look at the American League. Look at what this Red Sox team is. And then give us your opinion on, does this team have a legitimate chance? A legitimate chance. Should they be viewed as the team that is going to the World Series and representing the American League? That is the pertinent question. All right, 617-779-7937. Gordo will play Tessie with us. Dave, you there yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you got to yell McFarlane.
McFarlane!
All right. Oh, see, that's a good one.
That's how you
a
keep little, tabs, Rob. Little, way to get back to it.
A little accent aigu at the end. All right, I appreciate everybody. It's going to be a wild ride all the way up until 6 o'clock. This is a lot of fun. I'm at Yankee Stadium. Gordo's back in the Baseballs and Boring Studios. Keep the calls coming. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Stop banging your head. Gordo, you there?
Wow.
Hello?
That music just blared in my ears. I had to take my headphones off for a second. That was crazy.
Okay, all right. Hey, we're blowing the woofers and tweeters. It's that time of year. We're blowing the woofers and tweeters. All right, calling in. Everyone's calling in. I love it. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to listen to the Baseballs and Boring Show. It's a great time to talk to our good friend Gordo from Play Tessie and Dave and me, Rob Bradford. I'm from live from Fenway Park. Not Fenway Park.
Not quite.
Yankee Stadium.
Close.
The Fenway Park of the Bronx. Which, by the way, you get ready for the road show?
Oh, I'm so excited for the road show.
So excited.
So excited for the road show.
Anybody who is making the trip out to Arizona to see the Red Sox play the Diamondbacks, please stay tuned because the Play Tessie guy is going to be there, the Baseball Isn't Boring guy is going to be there, and the good vibes are going to be there. It's going to be a good time. We'll do something. I don't know what it is, but we'll do something.
That's going to be a good time. That is going to be a great series.
All right.
First time in Arizona.
Well, it's a dry heat. All right. Paul in Westfield. What's going on, Paul? How you doing?
Well, Bradfoe, I'm very well. I'm enjoying the moment. In less than a week, it's Doomsday Machine with 4 losses out of 6 in the road. They're terrible. 14 men left on base. Never seen anything like this. The heroes can't hit. And we were still 10 games above 500 because this, Bradfoe, unleash the Kraken. The number one now, run differential. Let me count the ways in which the pitchers can dominate with the lowest ERA, Crochet with the Cy Young Award. Krazilla now, go back a month, 33 hitters ago in Philly, he gave up a hit. Now 33 hits later, zero, not in the way. Nielsa, nothing on the hits. That's dominance. And then, of course, the disappearing offense, then reappearing offense that can't not get it done with monstrous double-digit wins. When they're tired and coming off a rough loss, they go into Yankee Stadium where they have their number. And to see Crochet giggling and laughing, get out, sit out, sit down. K's the whole side, giggles off, tapping his feet with Dorothy in Kansas. This is wicked. This is awesome. We can maintain it and stay consistent. And then when Bale goes in and throws a perfect game, hasn't done that since last June, another unbelievable less than 2 ERA, and Mueller gets in form. If those are your second tiers, and you've got Whitlock and Crochet to close, this is not a team to be messed with. They can be nasty and do it on all angles.
Well, Paul, thanks for the call, man. There you go. That's what I'm talking about, Gordo. It's late August. Paul's calling. He's feeling good about things. He's saying he didn't really answer the question, but that's okay. I didn't ask him. I just asked everybody in general. Are the Red Sox the favorites in the American League right now? I know they don't have the best record, but how do they stack up to the best of the best, whoever that might be in the American League? And I think Paul just rattled off. Now, some of the stuff he was saying, like, okay, well, let's pump the brakes a little bit. But so, I get it. Like, if all things go well, sure. Well, why not?
The truth is here, you can make the argument for other teams in the American League, but they're, if you're going to make the argument for other teams, like, you can absolutely make just as good of, if not better, of an argument for the Red Sox. And he did right there. Like, there's a lot going their way, and it's only going to get better if you can get Justin Slayton right back in the mix here in the bullpen. Like, that's kind of the one thing that's kind of bit them recently is just the bullpen has been a little bit shallow, but it's getting better, it's getting deeper, and they're clearly being more aggressive about it. So it's exciting.
Jordan Hicks only allowed one base runner today in the ninth. Matt in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Bradfoe. I saw Lenny D at a Home Depot. We live near each other. Our daughters play softball. He had the orange baseballs and boring shirt on. Pretty clear.
Oh, yeah, that one pops.
Yep.
That was a good one. Yeah.
It does.
Yep.
So I see Seattle can gel a little bit with their acquisitions. I think they're kind of, them and the Red Sox are kind of up front. I'm not big on Detroit. I mean, they had a massive losing streak earlier this year. Kind of shows their holes. But as of today, I don't know exactly when the pinpoint was, but there was a lot made of the driveline guys in Boston and, you know, a massive strikeout rate and whatnot. But since the Red Sox have kind of gotten away from that, their offense is – I think they're the best offense, all-around offense in the American League. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Matt, thanks. So – you know, you look at – I'm not going to really go down the driveline road because I think that it's like a lot of things in baseball. It's the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right? I think that they were swinging and missing a lot. That was absolutely a problem. I'm going to say this. I think that some hitters sort of took what they needed to take and discounted what they didn't need to take, and they found out who they are. And that's how you succeed. You know, I talked to Xander Bogaerts when I was out in San Diego. That's what he did. Like, he went out the driveline last year. It didn't take for him. He changed and he did something else. For some guys, it works. That's fine. But the biggest thing, Gordo, is that you can't – and I know that this isn't a great thing to say but coming off of yesterday when you swung and missed like a crap load, but you can't swing and miss a ton. And I do think that that's where Nathaniel Lowe comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they have put together more professional at-bats as the year has gone on, but it still has been kind of you're revolving your lineup around Roman Anthony and Alex Bregman, and they're going to put together the two most professional at-bats on the team, and you're going to hope other guys step up. But Nathaniel Lowe, even if he's not going to get hits, you can see it already. He's played just a few games with the Red Sox, but he puts together a professional at-bat. He's not going to chase. Ooh. He's not – like, he does. He does. And that's why you feel good about him hitting. He's been hitting in the five hole when he's starting. Like, you feel good about it because he's going to draw up the pitch count. He's gonna not swing at bad pitches, and he'll put a swing on a strike, and maybe he's not going to get a hit on it. I mean, clearly the stats in D.C. weren't that good this year, but you've seen it in Boston. You see what he had the last few years with the Rangers is in there. Maybe he just needed a competitive environment.
If I was Nathaniel Lowe, which I'm not, and I was a Major League Baseball player, and I had Gordo play Tessie saying definitively that I put on a professional at-bat, that would absolutely be in my Twitter bio.
What about me saying that he's the king of the
Nathaniels? No, just say, like, some say I've put on a professional at-bat. That would be it.
He does?
That would be it. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I'll just put it up there anyway. I guess I feel like it's sort of like if you – I don't date because I'm married, but if you were on a dating app, you should absolutely say you should put your Uber rating and that you could put on a professional at bat.
What is a good Uber rating? Like, doesn't everyone have like 4.9?
4.7 and up, I think. 4.7, I don't know.
Do they not take you if you have a low Uber rating? Is that the point of it?
No, but did you hear? So the interview that we did with Tyler Phillips, the reliever for the Marlins, I asked him about talking to Uber drivers, and he said that for a while him and his buddies – because the Uber drivers always want to talk. So he said, oh, well, you know, what do you do? And they said, well, we're contractors. And like, oh, well, what do you build? Like, no, we're contractors. Like, we put out hits on people. And that shut down the Uber drivers.
That'll shut them up fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all right, all the things that you need to know. We're solving a lot of the world's problems. All right, our good friend Wally in Fall River. Hey, Wally, how are you?
Yeah, what's up, Rob? You couldn't have three sweeter wins than what we had when you consider the last game in Baltimore was at Fenway Park against Baltimore was a horror show. But when was the last time the Red Sox swept a four-game series in Yankee Stadium? I'm curious to know about that. I think they did that in 73, but I'm not sure. But as far as the Red Sox, the World Series, I don't know. It's a toss-up right now. They're going to have to, like I said, you're going to get help from everybody. You can't depend on two guys. You're going to have veteran at-bats all the time. The pitching's going to have to continue to start and pitching. And the bullpen seems to have straightened out, especially if you get Slayton back. But I figure it's 50-50 now. As far as the World Series, that's a tough question.
Ooh, all right, Wally, all right. I know everybody loves a good power ranking, okay? Ooh. Give me your top three American League teams right now. Top three from Wally and Fall River American League teams.
I would put the Red Sox third, Detroit first, and Seattle second.
Ooh, I like how you did that. You're bobbing and weaving all over the place. So
yeah, it's tough. It's really tough because, like I said, if you sweep this series tomorrow, we owe Baltimore a payback from what they did to us. So it'd be nice to go into Baltimore and win 3 out of 4. But you just have to take it one game at a time.
One game at a time.
Everybody's got to chip in. You can't depend on two guys all the time.
So far, Wally, thank you. I am dizzy with cliches right now. He puts on a professional at bat, one game at a time. Everybody's going to chip in.
There we go.
You know, with a little luck and a lot of hard work, we can do it. Now, come on. I mean, let's, all right. It is amazing, and I do like to talk about this, about the like where they stand in the American League, because I think people get it twisted. Like, the Seattle had a winning streak, and now they have a losing streak. Right, people should understand that. What did they lose 5 in a row? Maybe they won last night.
Seattle, but, yeah, they ended up winning last night. They had lost
5 in a row. Detroit had a terrible losing streak coming out of the around the All-Star break, and but now they're hot again, right the ship. And by the way, suddenly the trade deadline for them. Everyone crapped on them, so oh, you only get Finnegan and you only get Morton. Well, both those guys have been contributing. Like, that's the point of the trade deadline. Much like, do we change the grade for the Red Sox trade deadline? If, put it this way, we say Red Sox trade deadline, Gordo, C-. You gave him probably an A-, but I gave him a C-, right? C- for what at the time, okay?
I think I gave him a solid C.
You wanted to give him a C-. But you just couldn't do it.
My heart can't go there.
Your heart would break. It would physically break. So you see, C-, whatever it is. What would right now, Gordo? What would you give this recalibrate? What would you give the Red Sox for their trade deadline?
I think you can up it to a B at least.
Oh,
because you have to factor in the fact like they didn't get a first baseman at the trade deadline. But they got Nathaniel Lowe.
No, he counts as a trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm counting, much like
I count Milwaukee Brewers getting Andrew Vaughn, which is the best trade deadline or acquisition, midseason acquisition.
Seriously.
So I will give you, and I keep almost calling him Travis Shaw.
He does like, give Travis Shaw vibes, doesn't he?
Travis Shaw / Mike Karp comp is such a good one.
He gives massive Travis Shaw vibes.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Travis Shaw.
Well, Travis Shaw / Mike Karp. Like, that's what it is right there. So, anyway, I will give you that. So, you say a B. For the deadline.
I'll give him a B because Nathaniel Lowe steps in, you get him for free, and he's producing. And then Dustin May's been better than you thought he was going to be. And the reason I wouldn't go higher, because if you told me, hey, they're going to get a starting pitcher that's going to pitch well for you, and they're going to get a bat that's going to hit well for you, and they're going to get a reliever in Steven Matz that's going to pitch well for you.
I don't know if I would go as high as B, but I can't argue with you. And I want people – if someone wants to argue, that's fine.
Well, I'll argue why you should give a B, because outside of getting Joe Ryan, that's the only reason I'm not higher. Like, if you were told they're going to get a starter that's going to be good, a bat that's going to be good, and a reliever that's going to be good, and they're not going to give up a ton to do it.
Here's the thing, Gordo, though. Listen. Like, it's all well and good. I respect your opinion. All right, I like you personally.
Careful where you're going.
I'm not going to say it. It's your prerogative to be semi right or semi wrong.
Wow, that's a new one.
But yeah, because I want you to feel good about yourself on this day, this holiest of days, where the Red Sox really wax the Yankees.
You can say anything you want. I'm going to feel good about myself.
I know that is true. But
who's that?
Dustin May.
Yeah,
because. They went into it. They said, we need that guy. We need a guy who can pitch in the postseason. We need a guy who can rely on, especially now that the great Walker Buehler experiment has gone awry, has not worked out. So now all of a sudden, when you got Dustin May, there was still some clinging to hope that maybe Walker Buehler can figure it out and you can push May to 5 and you have Buehler at 4. But no. Now you're moving May to 4. Now he's a guy who actually you're saying we need him potentially to pitch in a postseason game. And you know what? In fairness, 2 out of 3 starts, those are fine. Good. That's
good.
I mean, we can't be hypocrites, right? If you just took those, if you took that numbers, faceless, nameless guy, went to Detroit, went to whoever, wherever, they say, hey, you know what? Good acquisition.
Yeah,
good
we'd be talking about
acquisition. Yeah. So, but still, as a ways to go, that's what's going to define it. All right, we got to take a break here. 617-779-7937. We're going to be with you till 6 o'clock. Keep the calls coming. Keep the conversation coming. We will also have Alex Cora, his post-game comments from Yankee Stadium, which is where I am right now. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, live from Yankee Stadium, I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Gordo of Play Tessie podcast is with us. Let's say hello, Gordo.
Let's go.
Say McFarland, Gordo.
McFarland.
Did the Red Sox win or lose, Gordo?
They won.
Nothing. This should be my mission, to like make Gordo feel sad about something. You should, I don't know.
Well, you're not going to do that today. Try another time.
I know. Never.
Maybe in Arizona.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see this? Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Our flight to Arizona has been canceled. Oh, my goodness.
No, you can't hurt me today. It's not going to happen.
By the way, that could not even be a thing. I don't really know. All right, 617-779-7937. Like I said, I'm at Yankee Stadium after the Red Sox win, 12-1 win. Science would suggest that is good. They have taken the first three games of this series. They're now a game and a half, right? Up over the Yankees,
yep.
Correct?
Both okay. The Yankees and the Mariners.
Okay, and then the Royals were three games coming into today, back of a wild card. So don't count out the Royals, though. We talk about good trade deadlines. That was a sneaky good trade deadline, Gordo.
Yeah, kind of felt like they might be headed towards sell mode, and then they all of a sudden trade for Grichuk, and it's like, oh, nope, they're going to start to buy.
They got Ryan Burgert, who's been good starter for them, one of the best starters in the deadline. Mike Yastrzemski has been awesome
crushing it.
Frazier's been solid at second base. So there you go. The more you know, I'm here to educate, inform, offer insight, entertain, all the above. All right, speaking of which, let's go back to the calls, all right? Let's go back to the calls. Jay in the car. Jay, what's going on, my friend? Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Rob, how you doing? Love the show.
Thank you, my friend.
I don't mean to get all excited about Nathaniel O after three or four games, but what I'm excited about with him is he's going to be an 85 RBI guy. He's got a gold glove in the past and a silver slugger. So is he in the future plans of the Red Sox? Is he even playoff eligible at this point since we got him after the trade deadline? I think he's just a huge pickup. I can't imagine how he lasted through the trade deadline, not getting picked up by someone.
Well, this is what he is eligible for the postseason. He lasted because he was DFA'd. I'm sure what the Nationals are trying to do is trying to trade him, leading him to the trade deadline. They weren't able to do that. They DFA'd him, and then nobody claimed him, so they waive him, and then he takes the opportunity to join the Red Sox. So, but yeah, I mean he's. Let's get real. I don't know if you say, oh, well, he's going to be the answer for the next year, but he might be the answer this year. Stranger things have happened. I think, Gordo, you hit the nail on the head. It's the scratching right where they itch. It's what they needed. I don't think there's any question about it. All the Toro thing, we had the good Dom Smith, and then you get the bad Dom Smith. And then you had the same result as Dom Smith. But the difference is last year they weren't able to find – the Nathaniel Lowe to fill it in. So
last year the Nathaniel Lowe was Danny Jansen, and there's slightly different result, at least to this point.
Well, I just hope they I mean he's eligible for arbitration coming up, and I just hope he's in their plans more so than a Tristan Cass is coming off the injured list.
The arbitration thing is so
interesting. Thanks for the call, Jay.
Because he's making $10.3 million this year, so if you're gonna tender him a contract, it has to be above that. And I don't know what Nathaniel Lowe – I mean, obviously, he's doing what he can to make it a conversation. But, I don't know.
You also have to remember, what are you doing with Christian Campbell? Do you think that actually is he a viable option at first base? You can't just sleep on Romy Gonzalez. Romy Gonzalez is still on the team.
Yeah.
And I know that you're talking about a guy who is hitting from the other side of the plate. But Tristan Casas will come back at some time. He is part of the team. So it's not like you have to count on him, but – I don't know. That's a lot of money for a luxury item.
A lot of moving parts, yeah. Because, with the Christian Campbell thing, too, so much of this conversation is dependent on where do they see him playing next year, right? Because if it's first base, then it's not
power,
a conversation.
Power rank your positions for Christian Campbell. Go ahead, Gordo.
For where I think he's going to play where I think he'd
top
be best?
Top three. No, where you think he's going to play.
I think he's probably going to – to enter next year as a first baseman. But I, for me, I would rather see him entering as a second baseman. Okay. I trust the athleticism. I trust that.
That wasn't a power ranking.
Okay, well, those are the only two spots to me. How much roster reshuffling are you going to need to do to make him, to give him an opportunity to play a lot of games in the outfield? You already have outfielders that you can't get into the outfield as is, and they're all controllable.
Well, what's interesting, speaking of Worcester, and we're going to get the calls in 2 seconds, but speaking of Worcester, we're still waiting, and I don't think that I doubt he was asked at Alcor or if he announced who's going to start on Monday. He was still being coy about it before the game today. Kyle Harrison's name was brought up, and he kind of like was like, nah, he's got some things to work on.
Yeah.
Kyle Harrison. And Cooper Criswell's on the IL. Richard Fitz, he downplayed bringing him up last year. Peyton Tolley doesn't really line up right now. We'll see. All right, Stephen Fall River. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. I would put Fitz in and take out Bueller. That's what I would do.
Well, they did take out Bueller.
I would take Bueller out of the lineup and put Fitz at his spot. Give him the spot in the rotation.
No, I said they did take out Bueller. He's in the bullpen. And that Fitz could happen.
But I would like to see Fitz in there. Okay. We did not have a substantive conversation about the trading deadline. All I heard was F-. He got pinned. He did something wrong with dealing with Minnesota. I'm glad they didn't get this guy. They would have got rid of this Tolley probably because he gave up. He said the whole minor league was available. I like what they did when they said nobody off the major league roster. People didn't like it. Your leadoff man is not getting any credit for bringing somebody in. The sky was falling a week ago, Rob. And a week ago, I brought up Trevor Story, and I made the lexicon in this device of most important player. I've been saying it for a month and a half. I have private text in June to my friends, MIP, most important player. I said a year ago he was with 10 games at the beginning of 2024. You yelled at me last week. You said, how do I know?
Steve, let's not get this twisted anymore, all right? You have revisionist histories with all these calls that you have.
No, I don't, Rob.
Steve, I said it on the radio station. First of all, I didn't yell at you last week. I said I agreed with you about this Trevor Story conversation. And let's just bring it back to now because I'm not going to deal with your revisionist history. I'm not going to deal with Hold on.
I said okay. I'm agreeing.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the here and the now.
I'd like you to weigh in on it. You're closer to the clubhouse than I am.
Right.
Who do you think is more important in the clubhouse? I know you can't say
So that's where you got it wrong last week. I wouldn't yell at you. That's where you get it wrong, where you're just like, okay, Trevor Story is more important than Alex
Bregman.
Steve, relax. I told you. I will tell you. Alex Bregman, for a reason, which I articulated early in the show, overall, for his personality and what he brings, is probably more impactful for the Red Sox clubhouse than Trevor Story. That's not a slight on Trevor Story. Trevor Story is very impactful as a presence, but as we saw last year, and this is one of the reasons why you need an Alex Bregman, Steve, is that Trevor Story's personality doesn't lend itself to being that guy that is sort of going to be the alpha.
I took your opinion. Obviously, we'll never know unless we pull the players. Now, let me tell you. Now, this Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah.
According to Sport Track, the Red Sox are paying him $147,000.
Okay.
According to Sport Track, they're paying Trevor Story $22.5 million. Combined, they have 150-plus RBIs. These two duds we left out in California, Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, are making north of $50 million. They have 99 RBIs, and they're both batting below .275. I think you owe, and everybody that picked on the Red Sox hierarchy, and Allison and wherever the hell she's from, always talking about Mookie and Xander and this and that. You talk to Xander after the trade. Get over it. Forget about it.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, always. Always appreciate it. Gordo, you weigh in. I'm just like...
Well, one thing when you're talking about...
That, by the way, that was a test. That was a test for you, Gordo.
What was the test?
To make to bring down your vibes.
Oh, no, the vibes are fine. All I'm going to say about the Mookie and Xander thing is if you're bringing up how those guys are today, you might as well say, "Oh, well, the Red Sox traded Babe Ruth for nothing, but Babe Ruth is dead, so who cares?"
Yeah, well,
like those guys have been, particularly Mookie has been a great player.
I lost the whole like combining Trevor Story and Nathaniel Lowe's RBIs. I mean, it's Nathaniel Lowe got DFA'd for a reason, and like it's
he
great.
Wasn't a good fit for that team. Right, it is what it is.
But it's also great that he's doing well for this stretch, and the hope for the Red Sox is that he continues to do well. But you can't just say absolutely that's the guy, no question about it. Even when we're talking about the previous caller next year. Just ride the wave now. Like, it's a good fit right now.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right. Before we go to break, Casper in Worcester. Hey, Casper, what's going on?
Hi, Rob. Rob, I'm assuming it's confirmed that Lowe is eligible for the postseason.
Yes,
That's my belief.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. It's exactly what you said. Just ride it right out. It's a good stroke of luck for us. And, regarding all this shuffling of players and Campbell, that's all next year.
Yeah.
Sox got to concentrate just on this year, but they're so streaky, Rob. It's unbelievable. And this rebound is better. And as I said to Christian, who I think is terrific, it beats the rebound they did with the Dodgers to come back and beat the Yankees. Really are a weaker team than the Dodgers. So it's just a great thing. It's a big momentum builder, and it rescues all that nervousness that everybody had when we lost a few games to Baltimore and everything else. There's something there with the Red Sox. There's a lot of talent. There's enough there to go maybe middle of the playoffs. That's my belief, and nothing's better. The only thing that can beat this for today is to win tomorrow. With that, I'll let you go. Hopefully, all your callers are happy callers.
My goodness, Casper, that was the best call.
Love that call.
And I think Casper hit the nail on the head, which is if you want to put up the T-shirts right now for the Boston Red Sox 2025 Boston Red Sox ... It's better than the alternative, right? That's what it is. All right. There's a lot to get to. We have so much to pick through, and you know, he was right. I mean, like, we're talking about Christian Campbell and everything else. Really, I don't know if Christian Campbell is going to be part of this team. I don't know who's going to be part of this team. We can talk about Peyton Tolley. Is he going to be part of this team? Is he the right guy to turn to? You know, how should they fix this? But as we sit here right now, ... Gordo, what?
What was what's on the shirt? I've already forgotten.
It's better than the alternative. There you go. 12-1 wins, 3 games winning in Bronx and 3 tries, 8 straight against the Yankees, ... It's better than the alternative.
What's the alternative to 8 straight against the Yankees? Losing 8 straight? Is that the alternative?
Whatever that is.
I don't even want to think about that world.
You want to go
let's
back
live
and
where
look
we're
at.
At.
Go back and look at the season-burning 2006 series against the Yankees if you want.
Oh, I remember that. I was young. I was like in Nantucket for that. Was that a 5-gamer?
I think it was. Yes. We can pick through that, but that was the lesson that you learned. This could turn, as we said at the beginning of the show, if they did not take care of business. This series meant more to the Red Sox than it did to the Yankees, but that said, it has been disastrous for the Yankees. It has exposed the Yankees, and it has also surfaced some reasons why the Red Sox actually could be put atop those power rankings that we're talking about. Are they considered, should they be considered the favorite in the American League? And before everyone goes, you're full of hooey? No. Tell me. You can call in. Tell me. 617-779-7937. Who's better? Who's better? I'm up for discussion. All right, but right now, we're up for a trend with Dave.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
You want Chappie to bust in the door first. You want him off the bus first. And the rest of us can kind of hide, like, in his shadow.
All right, that was Nathaniel Lowe talking about who, Gordo?
Aroldis Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman. I love that analogy or that story or whatever his description. What he was saying, that was on the award-winning 2-Minute Grill by McFarland. But the McFarland 2-Minute Grill can be heard before every game on the pregame show leading up to the Red Sox broadcast. And today, Nathaniel Lowe, I talked to him specifically just about Aroldis Chapman. That was it. Because he played with him in Texas. Chapman was traded to Texas. Lowe was on that team. They won a World Series. What was that like? And he gives that awesome analogy of, yep, they are letting Aroldis Chapman off the bus first. Why? Because he's intimidating everybody and everyone's just falling behind. I never thought of it, but let it be said, let it be done, Gordo.
That's right, how correct? You scare Yankee fans and Yankee players headed into Yankee Stadium.
I mean, we want to
go behind that guy.
We want to know the key to the series? Maybe. Who knows? That's it right there. All right. Well, 617-779-7937. You know, Gordo, by the way, of play testing. Excellent job by you guys, all of you, Pat, Sammy, Joe Braverman, Gordo, play testing guys. Great interview with the aforementioned Nathaniel Lowe. You asked him the question about his name, right? Correct?
Yeah. Could we share the same name?
That's great. I mean, that's not what you asked him about, but how he switched his name from Nate to Nathaniel in mid-stride, in mid-career, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can elaborate on it if you want. I mean, it's like...
So it was like the other way around in college. So he was Nathaniel growing up, and his family, his friends all call him Nathaniel. He gets to college, he introduces himself, I'm Nathaniel. And they say, oh, nice to meet you, Daniel. And then that was that. He's Nate.
All right.
But then he changed it back.
So because we play off each other so well, he appeared on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast the other day from Yankee Stadium, and I asked him, okay, I heard you on Play Tassie tell the story about Nathaniel Nate. The big question is, the big tell, because this is what we do. We take it like five levels down to find the real truth. How do you sign your name? Because that's the true tell.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's...
How do you sign your name? Did you sign it Nate? Did you sign it Nathaniel? Have you always been signing Nathaniel? Why, even when you're being called Nate? And you know what he said?
Tell me. What did he say?
Oh, thanks for listening. What he said was he spells out the first letter, N, and then he just scribbles, which, you know.
Well, hold on a second. Because you can scribble, but there's an obvious length difference between Nate and Nathaniel.
Eh, not necessarily. Autographs are it's a convoluted process. I do love talking about a good autograph, like a player, whether or not you can actually write cursive or can you just sign an autograph.
Do they even teach cursive anymore? They taught us cursive in third grade and they gave up instantly. Like after we never saw it again after third grade.
Yes, I think they do. You got to be able to sign your name, right? Correct.
Well, people's signatures aren't necessarily cursive.
Whose name isn't cursive? Whose signature isn't cursive?
When you sign like a document, you just write your name in cursive?
You don't want to see me. Like mine is a bad example, but it's some semblance of cursive. Okay? Dave, do you know cursive? How old are you, Dave?
I'm 23. Yeah, I know cursive.
When did you learn cursive? How long did they teach it to you for?
It was, I think, like third grade. We had like a quick segment on it, but that's where I learned it.
Okay, there you go.
Could you do, right now, I'm asking both of you, could you do a Q or a Z in cursive?
Yeah, my last name has a Z in it, so I know how to do the Z. The Q, ooh, probably not.
An uppercase okay. Q? Because a lowercase Q is really easy. Uppercase right. Q, I can't picture it.
This is, bizarrely, this is a question I've been asking major leaguers because I find it fascinating. And because, you know, we all do this, right? We all sign our name forever because we want to be big league ball players. Because someday they're going to ask for our autographs. I mean, and there you go. Next thing you know, you're signing Gordo. Big G, not lowercase G, big G-O-R-D-O-O.
The G is an interesting cursive letter that I know well just because of my name. But if your name didn't have a G at the start, you may not know it.
The G is an interesting letter. Conversation is the Baseball Isn't Boring After Dark program. So let's not talk about that now. But let's go to the lines. Owen in Marshfield. Hey, Owen. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's going on, Owen?
Red Sox won, Owen.
Hey,
I don't know if you know that.
They have won three in a row.
I'm fired up. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about how much this season, not this season, but the postseason run hinges on these 7-9 hitters. You guys saw it today, Rafael, Hamilton, Narvaez, all with a couple hits. But when they're cold and they're not cycling back up to the top of the lineup for Anthony Bregman, Duran Story, it really is a complete hole in our lineup. And I think if they get hot in October, the sky's the limit. But if they're cold, it might be a quick exit for us. Thoughts?
I think it's a good point. And Owen, what I would say to that, too, is what we talked a little bit before about swing and miss, and especially when it's Raffaello. You have to hit the ball in the postseason. People sleep on that so much. Everyone gets consumed with hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball in the air. And we saw the Red Sox. This was a big conversation, Owen, before, early in the year, when they were swinging and missing and striking out a ton. But you have to be able to make contact in the postseason. Every good team does it. And every year, people who watch the postseason, executives who watch the postseason, they say, oh, yeah, look, that's how it's going to be next year. And sure enough, it goes away. And they forget. But to your point, yes, they got to be more of what they have been than what they or what they have been the last few or today. Than they have been, and certainly it'll be in the year.
Can I bring up a point about someone who was in the bottom three in the order today? David Hamilton.
Yeah.
Could be such a key for this team down the stretch. And Lou was talking about it on the broadcast today. But it's like if David Hamilton, he had three hits today. He was on base three or four times. I think four times in the first game if you count reaching on the error. But if he can be at like a semblance of anything, it allows you to put your best defensive lineup out there because he's at second or he's platooning at second. And you've got Raffaello in center field and not at second base, which I don't know if you've seen the stats for Raffaello playing center field versus second base. It's crazy. And I do read into those, and we talked about it before they moved him. But if David Hamilton can be playable to the point where he can platoon at second base with Romy Gonzalez, it allows you to put your best defensive team on the field. And if he's playing well, then he's on the bases. He's running. He's wreaking havoc. And you saw it in the series. You've seen what it can
there?
Be. Owen's gone.
Owen's gone. All right, so I'm glad Owen brought that up. It's a good point. It's a good point by you, Gordo. Congratulations. Because, you know, we looked at – I thought Marcelo Meyer was a huge hit. Like, not having him is a huge hit to this team.
Definitely.
Because exactly what you said. You had to move Raffaello in. You also, like, the backup third base position, like, people don't talk about that nearly enough. What happened if Bregman went down or something happened to him or he needed more time off. And then you just have the second base production. And really, what Hamilton has done this series, you got to give him credit. Like, he doesn't quite have the benefit of the doubt, Gordo.
Oh, it didn't start well with that play at third base.
No. Oh, yeah, exactly. But still, I'll go back to Friday. I'm telling you that was when the wheels started falling off for the Yankees. You started seeing, like, this is the team that makes all the mistakes. And they make – it's – probably science would suggest that you're going to make more mistakes when the pressure is put on you more, and that's exactly what Hamilton was doing, even though, like, the box score might not light up. Today he had three hits, but on Friday or on Thursday the box score might not have lit up, but still, like, he was forcing this poor fielding team into poor fielding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you can go back even to last year. Think Red Sox-Yankees last year when the Red Sox were in their best stretch of the season. When was it? It was when you had back-to-back-to-back some semblance of Hamilton, Raffaello, Duran wreaking havoc, getting on base, running all over the Yankees, running all over Jose Trevino, stealing seven bases in a game. Was it more? It was a record-setting number of stolen bases in a game on that Sunday night game against the Yankees. And that was when they were at their best last year. And you've seen it in this series. When they are causing trouble for teams like the Yankees that have issues with the fundamentals, when you've got guys like that on the bases.
Yeah,
and in the field.
And while we're going to continue the Nathaniel Lowe appreciation tour, you know, we also should mention that defensively, yes, like he's not an Adonis when it comes, not going to be like cat-like quickness, you know, certainly. But the guy won a gold glove. And for me, if you win a gold glove, like you win a gold glove, you're a good fielder. You're probably a good fielder. Like
you at least know what you're doing out there.
You know what you're doing. You can make the picks, and your guy Babraham, like Babraham Toro, I give him a ton of credit. He was so good at picking. He was a picking machine, Gordo.
And he fell over every single time.
He fell over. I mean, Abraham Toro, I have an appreciation for him. Number one, he's a nice guy. But number two, he was the epitome of trying hard, right? That sounds so stupid when we're trying to analyze a Major League Baseball team. But I look at this guy, and he was like people don't understand, like physically limited, right? But he would bust it down the line all the time. He would be falling all over the place. Whatever it was, he got the most out of what he had, and he really helped them. He did. And he was, like, in regards to first base, he wasn't a great third baseman, but in first base, he was a picking machine. But I will say this. When the rubber meets the road, Gordo, I probably want Nathaniel Lowe at first base.
Oh, definitely. And you know, it's a credit to the guys who've gotten them to this point because none of them are actual first basemen. I know that Toro was definitely better at first base than third, but it's not like he's a first baseman by trade. It's not like Romy Gonzalez is a first baseman by trade. Nathaniel Lowe is a first baseman by trade. And he, as you've seen in this series and in the Orioles series, he can hit the ball. You've got a guy who has played first base. He's a big body over there. He's won a Gold Glove. He can hit the ball. He's won a Silver Slugger. He's got postseason pedigree. He's got big game experience. And he's come through in big games. So, yeah, I mean, it was an obvious move for the Red Sox. It was an obvious decision for Lowe to come here to play every day against right-handed pitching and maybe against some lefties and to play for a team that's competing for a postseason spot. Like, it was a match made in heaven.
I was trying to think while you were talking, trying to think of something that would make you sad.
You can't. It's not going to happen today. Keep trying.
Nothing. I wasn't going to go like. I wasn't going to go to the deep. I wasn't going to do a deep cut. No, I'm just trying to think of something that might make you sad. But nothing's going to make Gordo sad. The Red Sox won 12-1. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Those 3 games have come against the Yankees. They're a game at half and up the Yankees. Which, by the way, can we say this though? They're game up at half on the Yankees, and so that means they're 4.5 up on Kansas City. Is that right?
Yeah, you'd be right. Yeah,
right. So you're sitting here in late August, 4.5 up on a playoff spot. If you do not make the playoffs, it is a collapse.
Yep.
But I will say this: this is my biggest takeaway, and this I'm going to lead into after the break. We can talk about this, Gordo, and we're going to be on with you until 6 o'clock. But this team, because of what I'm about to say, should be ranked in your top 3 in the American League. I don't know where. But should be ranked in your top 3 in the American League. I get an idea where I want to rank them. I think I got my rankings locked in. Do you get your rankings locked in yet?
A top 3?
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
I've
tell
got
me.
It.
I've all got right,
it.
All right. We're going to do that after the break. But when you have what you saw from Brian Bello, when you have what you saw from Garrett Crochet, Gordo, you've lived through postseason runs. You know how this works. It's the Texas Rangers 2023. Jordan Montgomery, Nathan Eovaldi. And I'm not saying that it's Arizona. Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen. You know, it's. I'm not saying that they're going to be that way, but as we sit here right now, you have the potential for that. And that is that you have to start there.
Oh, exactly right. That's the starting point.
Yes.
A 1-2,
and I just gave you a reason why you should be more optimistic about the 3 in case you missed it. I told a good Lucas Giolito story about what happened on Thursday night, which I'll repeat, but I'll repeat it after the break and also after Gordo gives me his power rankings in the American League. All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. I'm still at Yankee Stadium. That's Gordo. He's in the Baseball Isn't Boring Studios. Dave's behind the glass. We got it all going on. If this is your last chance to join the conversation, to get the adrenaline flowing, to latch on to all the optimistic vibes that Gordo is permeating all the way throughout New England. Right? Correct?
You can't hurt me. Okay. It's not happening.
You can't hurt Gordo. All right. Be back after this.
Don't be left out. Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Boston's sports original.
All right, let's get right back to it. It's the Baseball isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford from Yankee Stadium. Gordo, back at the Baseball isn't Boring Studios. Gordo, let's go back to the phone lines. Bob in Western Mass. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Not bad. How you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I'm jumping on the Sox train right now because they have a lot of people that are locked in. I mean, their top 3 starters, 8th and 9th inning, seems to be really solid in the bullpen. And when you have Trevor Story and, you know, guy from third base there, sorry.
Yeah, Bregman, yeah.
Yeah, Bregman locked in, and Anthony, they can almost carry an offense. So, like, yeah, I'm excited. I say everybody should get on board. Where they are in the top 3, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, power rank. Give me your top 3. Give your top 3 real quick, Bob, in the American League.
In the American League, Toronto.
Yep.
What are they doing? What are they doing up there? They have to be number one, right?
They can. I mean, they're sure.
First in the AL East by 5 games right now.
And they're in Canada.
Right.
Or by 4.5.
I'm sorry to say, I don't even know who's third. So I'm putting Sox second.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's all good. All right. That's good. All right, Bob. Bob, I appreciate your optimism. Okay. And here you go. That's where we're at, Gordo. That's where we're at. Thanks for the call, Bob. And now I'm going to get your power rankings for the American League, top three. In your eyes, clearly jaded and swayed by what has transpired here at Yankee Stadium. But you know what? That's why we love you, because you deal in emotions. All right, what do you got?
All right. Well, first, answer me this. Are we talking most likely to go to the World Series or best team?
Oh, my goodness.
Answer that. Answer that, and I'll give you my list.
Okay. The team that you think is most likely to go to the World Series, yes.
Okay. Then we're going to start with the Tigers as number one.
Yep.
They're on a heater. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're going to be the one seed. They can finish out the year however they want because they're 10.5 up. Like, they can rest their guys. They don't need to do anything. Plus 98 run differential. They've got Skubal. Like, you got to feel good. It's weird because, like, we talk 1-2 punches, and yeah, like, Flaherty and Mize are good, but it's not, like, neither of those guys, in my opinion, is Brian Bayo. So they don't have that, but they're in a great position. They're going to have the bye through the first round, which I think is huge. Second, I'm going to go with the Red Sox.
Ooh,
I'm going to go with the Red Sox.
Of course you are.
You look, Rob, you look all over the roster. First of all, they've got the best run differential in the AL. You've got Crochet and Bayo at the top. That's your top two. And Giolito as your three is really good.
Yeah, and we should really know, because I promise I want to pay off on this. What I was saying, Giolito told me the other day, Bregman came up to him after the game and said he thought that the Yankees were actually had his changeup. So that makes you feel any better? Then there you go.
And it should. You keep going. Anthony and Bregman at the top put together back-to-back professional at-bats, super productive hitters. What is my Anthony stat? My Roman Anthony stat from...
What is your Roman Anthony stat?
This was from Just Baseball. Since June 28th, nobody in the American League has more multi-hit games than Roman Anthony.
Okay.
That's basically 2 months of ball, and no one has more multi-hit games than Roman Anthony.
Yep, only Fly doesn't know who Pearl Jam is. Go ahead.
It's true. You go to the back of the bullpen, Whitlock and Chapman are automatic. Whitlock with an 0.51 ERA in his last 20 games, and Chapman hasn't allowed a hit in a month. Like, they probably are the best team, but they're probably not going to get that bye.
Real quick, who do you got at number three?
Number three, I got the Mariners. I can't give up on the Mariners. Okay. I want to say the Blue Jays, but I can't. Okay. The Mariners, I'm just always going to be on their train.
All right, real quick, Brian in Salem, what do you got, Brian?
McFarland!
Yes,
there we go.
Yes. Oh, what a way to punctuate the day.
You know what? This is the whole analogy. Okay, yeah. So you know what the worst part of the weekend is? It's right now, because after you guys sign off, all I get is syndicated nonsense for the next day and a half on your station.
You know what you do if you want, because it's all part of the baseball same company, just go to Baseball is Boring and just keep listening. Just listen. Just keep listening, man. Or play Tassie, yeah. But it's all good. It's all good. What do you got, Brian?
Okay, so a couple quick things. The Red Sox are keeping me bipolar. I went to the game on Tuesday night, took my youngest for the first time in a couple seasons, and friendly Fenway, I smelled puke all game with kids who I thought were 16 years old drinking and puking behind us, and UNFA Queens, I still smelled it. Then, while I'm checking my 50-50 ticket, I look down because I dropped it, and that's when Lowe hits his two-run bomb to tie the game. And then we moved right next to Dennis Drinkwater and watched, Hudson hold the runner. And instead we would have saw him score and tie the game and who knows what. By the way, does anyone get out of a stadium faster than Dennis Drinkwater?
He's the best. Love Dennis.
Yeah, real quick. Bradfell, I was going to ask you, I was going to DoorDash your baseballs and boring.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, listen. I apologize, Brian, because we're running out of time. We got to go.
Yep.
But I have not forgot you. I got your contact. We're going to get this done. We are going to get this done. I promise you. So please call back next week, but I will be in touch with you. I appreciate it, Brian. So,
all right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, see
you. Thanks, Brian. You
all right,
too.
Brian. So my power rankings, I'm going to go with Detroit. People don't understand how good they have been. 8-2, as you point out. Also, one of the best trade deadlines. Charlie Morton has been nails. Three of his four starts. His first start against Philly, 6 innings, 1 run. His third start, 6 innings, no runs. His last start, 6 innings, 2 runs. He's been nails. And Kyle Finnegan from the Nationals hasn't given up a run in over 10 innings. Great trade deadline. Congratulations to them. I'm going to put them one. Right now, I have to go with the Blue Jays number two. And here's a reason why, Gordo, real quick.
Let's hear it.
They make contact better than any team.
They get a lot of hits. They really do.
They not only get a lot of hits, they get a lot of hits when it counts the most. That is science. That is fact. Speaking of science and facts, this was another great show. Excellent job by you. Go to Play Tessie, everybody. Go to Play Tessie, at Play Tessie. Go check out the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, Joe Braverman, Dave Azer behind the glass. Excellent job. Give me one more McFarland, Dave. Come on, one more.
McFarland!
That's
a good one. You're pretty good at
that. Yeah, I like him.
Excellent job all day, Dave, on the broadcast and this show and everything. I appreciate everybody. Remember, at BB Isn't Boring. We have a tidal wave of podcasts every single day. Had one with the aforementioned Nathaniel Lowe the other day. Have one with the aforementioned Lucas Giolito coming up. And I also sat down with the Cam Schlittler.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah.
Walpole? Is that right? Walpole?
Walpole's own. I said, what was your worst job? He said, putting Christmas trees on the top of cars, which if you saw how tall he is, that makes a whole lot of sense. All right. Throws 100, puts Christmas trees on cars. Then we'll finish with that.
It's a great combo.
All right. It's a great weekend. I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everybody following. We'll see you next week, I guess. But baseball isn't boring. Red Sox win 12-1. See you next week.